Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 da-dum, dumb, da-dum, dumb, da-dum, dumb, dumb, da-dum,
dumb. Oh, heck and wowee. Welcome to the worst year ever with me, whose name is Cody Johnston.
And me, whose name is Katie Stoll.
And me, whose name is Cody Johnston. Damn it. Rob, Sophie.
We rehearsed this for hours.
What's the, who?
Under pressure, you can't even.
Who you?
Who he.
Who he. I am Robert Evans, my name tag is telling me.
Yes, we got there.
I know. It's a good thing you hang on to those name tags and lanyards. Oh, otherwise, yeah, I'd never know who I was.
Mm-hmm. Or who you pretend to be.
It's like I always say, lanyards are the only things that separate us from the animals.
Because it's similar to a leash, but anyway,
get
we're
my
not...
dog a lanyard. She'd be happy for that. Do you want to do a quick update on?
I would love that.
What we talked about in previous episodes?
Yeah.
We discussed
Jake Tapper.
Jake Tapper. Robert had J-Taps. Quite a lot to say about our buddy J-Taps.
Indeed.
And he's recently been doing this charity thing with Scott Adams.
Now, Scott Adams, the Dilbert guy?
Yes, Dilbert's dad.
Dilbert's dad,
Dilbert's
Scott.
Father, Dogbert's father, Catbert's father. Bird? Is there a Bird?
Well,
there should be.
There should be.
So Jake's doing this thing with Scott Adams, of all people.
Like a collaboration?
Yeah. For a week, Jake is writing and drawing Dilbert.
This is
the
ridiculous.
Comic strip. Yeah.
Have you seen any of them?
I saw one.
Was it any good?
It wasn't bad in terms of like the art. He drew them. It didn't look like Scott Adams drew the Dilbert characters, but it looked like I was like, oh, that's someone trying to draw Dilbert.
There's not a high bar to drawing Dilbert characters.
No.
Which, in fairness to Scott Adams, he would be the first to admit.
Yeah. It was easy to make the Dilbert-shaped pool that he has in his home. That's not made up.
No, it's not.
This is absurd. This is such a strange tangent for him.
It's very weird. Cool, because like Scott Adams is like pretty grifty and
I want to read a paragraph about Scott Adams from Rational Wiki real quickly.
Thank
just
you.
To set
yes.
you guys up for what
Please.
What kind of man Scott Adams is. In 2011, Adams admitted that he had used a sock puppet account called Planned Chaos to defend himself in a Metafilter discussion criticizing a piece he wrote for the Wall Street Journal. As Planned Chaos, Adams wrote, "He, Adams, has a certified genius IQ, and that's hard to hide." He asked detractors, "Is it Adams's enormous success at self-promotion that makes you jealous and angry?" On his blog, Adams defended this act of self-aggrandizement, stating, "Conflict of interest is like a prison that locks in both truth and the lies. One workaround for that problem is to change the messenger. That's where an alias comes in handy. When you remove the appearance of conflict of interest, it allows others to listen to the evidence without judging."
You know what? That's the kind of logic that only a highly intellectual human can put out, so.
I also want to note that literally 3 hours after the Gilroy Garlic Festival mass shooting, Scott Adams put up an ad for his cryptocurrency-based app called WinHub, which was like based on, basically he was telling people like, hey, if you witnessed the attack, don't just give up don't talk about your experiences to the news for free. Sign up on this app and sell your experiences witnessing a mass shooting.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, that.
Yeah, the bodies
tragedy
cold.
Grifting.
Foolish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there enough to do a Behind the Bastards on him?
Probably at this point.
There definitely is.
Yeah. I hate to admit it, but when I was a kid, I was a huge Scott Adams fan. Like, I read his, like, books and stuff on business.
Mm.
You were an interesting kid.
Yeah, I sure was.
Well, he had a shift, too, where, like, the beginning of Dilbert, the hero was Dilbert.
Right.
Yeah.
Slowly shifted to the boss being the hero, and, like, all the employees are the bad guys.
So you've been following
Dilbert.
It's
really
weird. just a little bit. I've been aware of the trajectory.
One of the first things I ever read from him in one of his like early books was his theory that like one of the most important things to understand, this is something I actually still hold to, one of the most important things to like grasp to be a decent person is that everybody is incompetent in the vast majority of things that they encounter. Like, people are dumb. Even the most intelligent and, like, trained people are dumb the majority of their day and the majority of problems they encounter. And I think that's, like, a good thing to keep in mind. He just completely lost that at some point and became, like, a hard right tragedy grifter. It's a weird evolution.
It's so weird. And, like, it really
wealth is bad for
stuff.
People. Yeah, you shouldn't give people hundreds of millions of dollars. It's bad for them. Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Very interesting. Yeah. Good for Jake, who was pointed out. It was
He's
pointed out to him.
Out.
Like, well, you know, do you know who Scott Adams is? Do you know, like, the kind of stuff he does? Like, that's kind of messed up that you're doing this, Jake. And he was like, well, it's for charity.
Oh, okay.
Not the point, Taps.
Yeah. As many people pointed out, I can't imagine he would have the same reaction if someone did a charity with Louis Farrakhan or any of the other people that he criticizes. But
anyway.
Just a little update about Jake Tapper.
Thank you for that. That was fun. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Oh, hell yeah.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. I'm
the
sure
Joe
everybody
abides.
Has wonderful things to say about Uncle Joe.
Do we?
Swingin' Joe.
Well, the one thing we know about him is that he's like a cool, chill guy. Like, if you've read Onion articles for 8 years, then he's just a cool dude.
I know he gives good massages.
I, for one, admire the way that his eye randomly fills with blood.
Yeah.
I like to see that from a presidential candidate.
I love his teeth.
Yeah.
The love great, those
the
teeth.
The greatest hits were already there.
Yeah. All reasons to vote for him.
Yeah.
And if he is voted for, we'll see how it goes.
That's what I like to hear.
Cody.
Well, we're gonna talk about this person, and not necessarily like his policies, you know, but more who he is, what he said, what he's done, and how that will inform how 2020 goes.
Yeah.
Like, why is it going to be the worst year ever if Joe sticks around?
I mean, let's be fair. It's going to be the worst year ever no matter who wins
exactly.
the nomination. Yeah.
And this isn't a competition. Yeah. We're not saying, like, this is the worst version of the definitely worst year.
But it might be.
Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Was born
fucking
in...
Fucking Robinette.
I know.
What kind of name is that?
It's a fine name. Don't name
no,
shame
it's
him.
It's not a great name.
It's not.
It's not great.
Anyway.
Two-thirds of the name are acceptable.
Isn't it Robinette inherently the female Robin? Like, if you're going by... Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to shame his name. It's fine. It's just...
We got so much about him.
He's
got, I feel like...
Let's let Cody kick it off.
Is a little worse than his middle name.
Okay. Yeah, let's not pile on too soon. Okay.
Sorry. I looked up the meaning of Robinette. It's really funny.
What is the meaning of Robinette?
The meaning of Robinette... It's fame bright.
What? Fame bright?
I mean, he's famous.
Yeah, he was bright.
It's also a nickname for Robert. Sorry, Robert.
Uh oh.
Really?
Well, here it is.
Oh, Robinette Evans.
Mm-hmm. Robin Evans.
I don't like that.
Robin Evans.
Robin.
I am not okay with this.
Anyway,
I don't know what to tell you other than, wow, it's happening.
I'll tell you what's happening is I'm going to have to bring a podcasting machete on the road in case people call me that when we're doing a live show.
All right. I'm going to be the mediator aren't I?
I withdraw my claim. His name is Robinette.
All right. Cody should get through a sentence of what he's prepared.
Joseph Robinette Jr. His last name is Biden. He was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And already I'm expecting, like, the cast of The Office to do, like, a campaign video for him in, like, October 2020. And I'm dreading it.
It honestly, yeah.
Nobody wants to see that, but it's going to happen, right?
If you took Joe Biden and put him on The Office, he would fit right in, I feel like.
Oh, his show would.
That is the show for Joe Biden.
Yeah. I mean, he was on Parks and Rec, so.
Okay.
Wow. Jesus.
As himself. Anyway. He was born, and then he had a life. The end. There's a lot to say about Biden, his record, his time as a senator and vice president, a lot of tragedy in his personal life.
Yes.
But we can't go through every single event or every one of his votes. You know, like, we could talk about his vote for the Iraq War and his current claim that he regrets the vote, but as soon as the war started in early 2003, he was against it, despite not speaking out against it until November 2005 when he said his vote was a mistake. But we're not going to talk about that.
No.
We could.
No, we're not.
But we're not.
We're not going to talk about all that.
So we're going to go through like certain moments, certain aspects of Joe Biden that illustrate how intensely 2020 will be the worst year ever, no matter what.
Yes.
And so, yeah, this isn't to say his nomination would make it the worst year, but it's going to be a miserable slog. So Joe Biden's a fighter, I think, first and foremost. He gets knocked down. He gets up again. Some might call him stubborn, but this stick-to-itiveness seems to stem from his parents and his experience with bullying growing up. He's bullied a lot. His dad would tell him, champ, the measure of a man is not how often he's knocked down, but how quickly he gets up.
Now, Cody, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it true that Joe Biden's parents were the punk band Chumbawamba?
I'm so glad you brought it back to that. Because
Chumba that Biden and Wamba Biden.
I mean, you get knocked back down, you get back up again.
Yeah, his parents, mm-hmm. Chumba and Wamba.
Joe Biden is the inspiration for Chumbawamba. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's canon, though.
That's why he always drinks a whiskey drink.
This is fact.
Yeah. And then a lager drink.
Oh, yeah.
And then a cider drink. Yeah.
He drinks a lot of drinks. He's a very thirsty man.
He sings the songs that remind him of the good times and the songs that remind him of the bad times. Mm-hmm.
And then he keeps singing them over and over because he's like kind of losing it.
I still don't think Cody's
made
it
through. Welcome to the podcast where we repeat in spoken word version the entirety of Chumbawamba's discography.
Is that why it's going to be the worst year ever?
Smash that subscribe button. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep on track here. But we know now what his father told him, his father Chumba, and his mother Wamba would often say, bloody their nose so you can walk down the street the next day. There's no record of his mother telling him to bloody his own eyeball, but, you know, sometimes you have to improvise. And I bring this up because I think that Joe will never drop out of this race.
Yeah.
This sort of speaks to that. Barack Obama literally told him, you don't have to do this, Joe. But he's doing it because he thinks Trump is a bully, and he's the bully stopper that's going to stop him. He's got that drive and this sort of idea in his head, and I don't think that's going to go away, despite him also being really tired all the time.
Yeah, you know? Sleepy
like,
Joe.
Right, like he's got that stubbornness, and he's like, I know I'm going to do it, but also he's Sleepy Joe. He's tired all the time. Recently, he was told in an interview, you know, a lot of people want big change. They want mm-hmm. big, they're looking mm-hmm. for big change. So why don't you make your case to them? And his response was, well, it's up to them to decide. And then he was pushed. He's like, well, but make your case to them. And his response was, it's up to them to decide. he was asked a third time to make his case, and he said, for a third time, it's up to them to decide.
Okay. How am I supposed to decide if you don't make your case?
Yeah. There's another place where he's talking about, it's like, hey, you know, if you like what I'm saying, vote for me and work for it. And if you don't, vote for the other guy.
Ooh, that's a hard pitch.
A real fighter we got in Joe.
You know, it's just evidence that, like, in a better world, Joe Biden would be a very acceptable Republican politician.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In a better world, like, everyone's attitude towards politics would be that, where it's like, well, okay, one side or the other wins, but we all trust that nobody's trying to destroy each other or like take each other's rights away or like put huge chunks of the country in prison. But we just don't live in that world, and Joe Biden, I don't think, realizes that.
He refuses
really
to realize
level.
It.
He's so off the mark. And if he ran as a Republican, it would accomplish the thing he wants to do.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to save the country and save the nation and bring us back from the Trumpism and save the Republican Party and all this stuff. And the answer to that isn't to do, like, Obama 2.0, you know?
Yeah.
Because the Republican
Obama
Party
1.0 didn't work out very
right.
well.
Also, this is Obama light.
Right.
Like this isn't even building
on Obama. The Democratic
Party
has stayed pretty consistent in terms of like where their center is, while the Republican mm-hmm. Party has moved farther and farther right over the years. And Biden seems to think that, well, if we keep doing that, if we keep the Democrats not moving far left at all, then the Republicans will come to their senses. Whereas if he ran as a Republican, which he could because a lot of his stuff aligns with them, then that's how you save the Republican Party, if you actually want to do that.
Yeah. Introduce
you're like,
Republican.
Yeah, I'm a reasonable one. I think Donald Trump is bad, and I'm mm-hmm. going to help you. And then you can have the Democrats turn a little left. But that's not going to happen.
Anyway.
He's a stubborn little boy. But I also bring up bullying and how, you know, you gotta spit your teeth at bullies. Because Biden also struggled with a stutter when he was a child.
Interesting.
They would call him Dash.
It's
kind of a cool name, but I think it's
That is a cool nickname.
It's because
of
the dashes that would appear. Like, if you were to write out a stutter, you'd have dashes in between the first letter. I think that's why.
Nickname.
I guess it's better than ellipses.
Yeah. But they'd also call him Joe Impedimenta because children are cruel and really stupid.
Yeah.
And, like, not.
Well, I mean, that's actually a fairly big word for a child to wrap their head around.
It's but... a big word to know, but not, like, there's nothing clever there.
No,
you
no.
Know? These kids suck.
You guys should have workshopped that a little better.
Okay. Good. Glad we're on the same page with these stupid kids.
Oh, yeah.
He overcame the impediment by memorizing and reciting long passages of poetry out loud in front of a mirror. So I would say right off the bat, kind of a one-up on the current president.
Sure, yeah.
But the reason I bring this up is that he's kind of stuttering a lot again these days. And I don't like the idea of just making fun of a guy for a stutter, especially when he struggled with growing up. But at the same time, he has shown some difficulty speaking quite a bit regularly, yes. All the time. Sometimes he looks frustrated. Sometimes he looks confused. Sometimes he pauses for what seems like an eternity and then finally says, NATO, because he's trying to think of NATO. And it just seems like
I feel like that has less to do with his stutter and more to do with, you know, age.
Cognitive decline, it seems like. But I think they're intertwined. I think they're sort of related. We're just sort of heading towards a situation in 2020 that could be two men with visibly declining cognitive abilities sort of struggling to insult each other back and forth. And that sounds not great.
Sounds awful. It sounds unbearable.
And it's sort of this sort of confused, frustrated nature in which he talks.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about next year being bad, I just can't get out of my head that's like, well, Donald Trump is really bad at speaking and a bully. And whenever Joe Biden is challenged, he gets flustered and can't get the words out. And you can see him sort of struggling to do it. And that doesn't seem like it's going to go well.
He just isn't. At this point, he's not the person I want on stage debating Trump. If
right.
Trump even agrees to do
no.
a debate.
He's never been like a great debater. He's a moderately acceptable legislator, but he's not this kind of guy who can like get up and he. A good way to describe it, he's Barack Obama without any kind of like charisma.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Or yeah, you know, I've seen people like when you're watching him speak, you're worried that he's not going to find his point. You're worried that he's not going to stick the landing, yeah. And that is not.
And you're usually
that I want.
Right.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. Is he doesn't.
Yeah.
He'll either say something that's not true at all, or like something that's a vague platitude that kind of has something to do with what was being asked, or just something out of left field that has nothing to do with what was being asked. And that's not great because we already have that guy in the office.
Or if he gets cornered, he is immediately defensive.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he doesn't deal with being challenged well.
Yeah.
Which again, we already have. So it's not great. We're actually going to take a quick break for some ads. When we come back, we're going to talk about something I think everyone's been waiting for.
Corn pop, corn pop, corn pop.
Corn pop.
Speaking of corn pop.
Oh!
It's corn pop.
Oh, I wonder if our ads are for corn pop.
I think we should state that this show is partly sponsored by the concept of breakfast.
Okay.
So, yeah. Eat some corn pops yourself while you listen to Joe Biden's tale of corn pop.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Well, that was delicious. Those ads were delicious.
Yum, yum, yum. I hope it wasn't.
And nutritious.
I hope it was something delicious and nutritious that we are pivoting back from. I just can't stop thinking about corn pops, and I'm very excited for this story you're about to tell.
This story is about cereal.
Yeah, favorite.
Yeah. Mr. Corn Pop, I think we all have heard this
corn
story.
We can't assume that people have heard this story.
We won't assume. So sort of what we were talking about earlier about his Joe Biden's ability to speak on topics, this sort of dovetails nicely into that. Corn Pop was a young African-American man in a gang called the Romans. Biden was working at a pool during the summer, as he puts it, to better understand the black community.
Oof.
Yeah.
Great.
he apparently insulted Corn Pop, who was like causing trouble.
Like comparing him to a female swimmer,
yep.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was
yeah.
like bouncing on the high dive.
To a
or
female
something.
Swimmer from like the 1840s.
Yeah, and the joke is that women swim.
Yeah.
Which
yes.
is hilarious.
Yeah. Another topic that sort of dovetails into the problems with Joe Biden. So he insulted Corn Pop very loudly and embarrassed him.
Yeah.
And Corn Pop got mad, as all members of gangs do, and threatened to, you know, they were gonna have a scuffle outside.
It was the 60s, right? It's a rumble then.
Yeah, yeah. So
and people were like, you better watch out, you're gonna get knifed.
Exactly. And so Joe started snapping his fingers. And then he got a chain for the big battle for the turf. And basically he apologized very loudly to Corn Pop. Like, I'm sorry I embarrassed you. That was uncalled for. But like, you can't do what you were doing. And I'm going to if you come at me, I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. And they made up.
And then he said they had his back the rest of the summer.
Yeah, had his back the rest of the summer. Then the two rode off into the sunset. And everyone loved this seemingly obviously made up story that a politician would say, you know, you just like, okay, yeah, they have got this weird story that sort of relates to what was being said, even though this didn't have anything to do with what was being said at the time. But plot twist, stop
it's
the
true.
Credits. It's true. Corn Pop is a real person. And he was in a real gang. Yep. Gangs back then were just more like groups of friends who like kind of got into fights sometimes. It was just like a hangout thing. But Corn Pop's real name was William L. Morris. He died in 2016 at the age of 73 with family by his side. He was in
That's
a gang
good.
Called the Romans. The former mayor of Wilmington, Dennis Williams, confirmed this story back in 2010. He was actually told about the Corn Pop incident
the
day after it happened. So he knew about it. This is a thing that happened. No one can confirm the altercation afterwards,
right,
with the threats of the chain around the head, because you know, like when you're in a fight and you're like, I'm gonna wrap this chain around your head, you go for the head, not like with a chain you might go for the neck, like
but not the head.
Mm-hmm. No. But Biden knows how to take on bullies. This happened.
I will say, if there's a single candidate on the Democratic bench that I trust to know how to get into a street fight, it's Joe Biden.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Amy Klobuchar.
Amy Klobuchar.
Amy Klobuchar could hold her own for sure.
Can you just give that woman a stapler, and she'll take you down.
God,
I would love to see like a no holds barred MMA fight between Amy Klobuchar and Joe Biden. That would really get 2020 going off.
I think we can organize that if we get that sweet Corn Pops money. I think we can make that happen.
Give her a straight racer. Give Joe a bike chain.
Yeah.
See what happens.
This is happening. You heard it here first and last, because it's not happening. But joke's on you, America, because Corn Pop is real. How dare you question Joe Biden, of all people? But I thought the real issue, I thought, with the Corn Pop thing wasn't necessarily the like, oh, this is like a fake story. But it was the fact that the story was told.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, aside from the fact that it's like one of those rambling stories about like putting an onion on your belt you might hear from Grandpa Simpson. And so there's that element to it, which I think is going to come up with Biden a lot, where he sort of rambles on. It's like, what does this have to do with anything, man? Why are you doing this? And it's clearly like he's got these stock things in his head that he comes back to all the time, like politicians do. But I think there's something with him where it's like, if I don't know what I'm going to say, I got to go back to my Corn Pop story.
I for me, part of what it is like Biden thinks of himself as being a real friend to African Americans. Mm-hmm. He considers himself like he knows what's up with the black community. And
can you think of anything more woke than being told vaguely by someone that a black man you insulted has a knife and then immediately threatening them with a chain?
When you put it like that, I can't think. That is wokeness in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's Biden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, woke Biden.
That's Biden's wokeness. It's just like that's really what bugs me about this story. Like, he's got these blinders on as to why he's saying is inappropriate. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like, in a way, it's cute. It seems like they were friends and like the community were, you know, like it became a funny story, especially as he became a politician. But that doesn't mean that he understands the black community. It doesn't mean that he's an advocate for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just something that he can share that makes him seem folksy.
Also, like, two things can be true. Joe Biden can, in that day and in his early time in office, have been compared to the rest of the people in a similar position in Congress better on some of those issues, like relating to the black community, than other people, particularly mm-hmm. conservatives. And Joe Biden can still be very much behind on that shit and yes. have contributed to some really deeply problematic and toxic policies that negatively impacted exactly. black people. Like, both of those things can be true. The world's complicated.
But he specifically yeah. seems incapable of receiving that yeah. kind of criticism yes. or acknowledging it. And that yeah. is why it's dangerous to me, because a lot of people are like, well, I'm actively evolving. You know, we see mm-hmm. a lot of candidates that have that, but not him. He doesn't seem to grow or change, and he just thinks he's great.
Yeah, and right, and like even sort of pointing to these sort of things that like, well, if you said this 40 years ago, maybe.
Right.
But he just doesn't seem to quite get it. Yeah. Really tone deaf. I also told the story, like, he's surrounded by black children talking about, like, oh, yeah, these gangs back in the day.
Right.
It was, like, he has told this at literally the pool that it happened at.
Okay.
It was being renamed for him.
Robinette.
Which, yeah. The Robinette pool.
Not the corn pop community pool, huh? All right.
Yeah.
Well, missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity for sure.
But to sort of speak to what you both were saying, this is sort of, it's not with the times. He's just an old yeah. man that sort of stuck. And he sort of has, you know, he's saying, you know, I did this in hopes of learning more about the black community. And the lesson he wants to relay involves a disrespectful gang member who's going to cut him up until he, like, talked to him and threatened him. And then things got better. And it's like, it's kind of like Dangerous Minds-y, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it illustrates his view on this whole race issue, which yeah, I think is,
it just kind of seems like he's saying the lesson I learned about the black community is that you can deal with any issue by threatening them with a chain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. that was how it went down. Even though he did apologize in that moment too, but like it was a moment of violence.
Yeah.
And this sort of, I think it's illustrated also in other stuff he says, like more recently he was on the debate stage.
Like you'd beat up Donald Trump or.
Oh, well, I mean, but he does have that sort of violent rhetoric of yeah. like, I want to punch him. And beat him up, which is like, well, that's also what Trump says.
It's just not what we need anyway.
But recently on a debate stage, he was asked about like how America can address its history of slavery, mm-hmm. the legacy of slavery in America. And he sort of, again, went on this long rant that culminated in him talking about how parents need to like, you know, leave the record player on for their kids, and now we have to get like social workers involved in black communities to teach them how to be good parents.
Not the answer.
It's not, and it's just like this weird tone deaf sort of suggestion. And again, it echoes when he was running for president the second time, when he lost and then became Barack Obama's running mate.
Yeah, that's important to note that yes. He's lost a lot.
He's dropped out before as well, which we'll get to. But
he's actually uniquely bad at running for president yeah. historically.
He has not yeah. been successful, though he has tried many times. So maybe just stop it, Joe. But in one of the earlier debates, they were talking about the AIDS crisis, and he spent a long time, this is a really interesting clip, he spent a long time shouting about how he would go to black neighborhoods and tell all the black men to wear condoms and all the black women that it's okay to say no.
Okay.
And he said it a few times, like, I'd tell them, like, it's okay to wear condoms and stuff, and, like, he would go into these black communities and do that. And then he's like, and, you know, AIDS, like, you know, it's okay to be tested. I got tested. And then he said, and I know Barack's been tested.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Joe.
He's just a gaffe machine, man.
You have to stop.
Why? How can you do that,
he's
Joe?
He's got no filter.
He's not got no filter, but, like, maybe he does, and his filter is bad because what's going through is bad, but the filter is also not
the
working.
The filter's broken.
Such a bad thing to say.
Did he say what they tested positive for? I just had gonorrhea, cleared it up real quick.
It's just real. It's not great. And I think this is, again, it's a pattern, and it stems from this history. And like, but I do want to say, to his credit, Robert Samuels from the Washington Post. He's a lot
Robinette
of like,
Samuels.
Robinette Samuels. He did a story about the Wilmington pool.
Uh-huh.
He talked to a lot of people in the neighborhood and a lot of the folks who were like in the community at the time. And a lot of them did point out, Robert, what you're saying, Katie, that like, Biden was the first white person who really listened to them and yeah. seemed to have them yeah. like in his heart. Like he was trying to yeah. like reach out. Like that is a good thing about him. It's just that era of like white saviorhood.
Yes.
And it's some of it's down to just like, you know, there's very few people who are able to completely transcend their time. Like we're all to a degree stuck in our time. There's things that like when we are Joe Biden's age will be like the norm in society. And it'll be good that those things are the norm and we'll feel weird about them. Like
absolutely.
I know I'm never going to get on board with self-driving cars, even though I can't argue with the basic idea. Like there's always going to be shit that like you just can't move past. Like Joe Biden's not a bad man. But he's a bad man for this time. He's not yes. the right man anymore.
He's not the person like, we need. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you pick out a guy from the 70s and you're like, "Well, you be president 50 years later." Like that's no way to run a country.
Well, it comes down to, I mean, I thought this earlier. And we'll keep saying this, I'm sure, a lot of times throughout the show, but the Democrats have stayed in this middle pocket while Republicans get pulled further right, mm-hmm. and they still keep thinking that what we need, that our answer to this is like, okay, hold this line, when it's not. That's not working. It hasn't worked. This is not the era. We're not. It's not the 70s. It's time for something drastically different.
Yeah. And the Republicans aren't going to play that game.
This mistake he makes that like part of what the Democrats need is somebody who can like talk about, you know, punching people and like
yeah.
Talk like Joe Biden or like Trump does, like to working yeah. class people. And it's like, no. That works for the Republicans because yep. of like, number one, who their base are and because Donald Trump is specifically attacking the groups that they hate.
Yep.
You are defending those groups. So the fact that you ape his language is not yep. going to win you any votes from people who are like, yeah, but you support gay marriage and like, we hate gay people. Like that, it's just not going to work. Like what's going to appeal to a progressive base and appeal to like union, like what's going to actually appeal to the people who are going to vote for Democrats is a different thing than Joe Biden is capable of delivering, mm-hmm. which is why he continuously fails to become the president.
Like, interesting. Yeah. Interesting yeah. pattern there, Joe.
Yeah. It's the same thing with like, I mean, he's the one person who has failed to become president in the Democratic Party more than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And the only reason, I mean, the yeah. reason he's polling so well is because people know his name and they think he's the safe choice when, because the media
but
is telling
that.
You
thought
that
about Hillary Clinton, too.
Well, right.
Like, the polling said the same thing then. I actually don't, I just don't think that he, doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. That's why we're here. I worry about him.
Yeah. I mean, he's got all the same problems.
Yeah.
Well, let's.
And more, in a way. Back to our buddy Joe. Mm-hmm. Let's get into like a little more of the nitty gritty, a little more of his life. Because related to this race issue, he seems to have this sort of lost in time aspect. I think this is again,
like the Ninja Turtles in that SNES
yes,
game.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the secret of Joe Biden's ooze. one thing I think we've sort of been alluding to that, again, that Robert Samuels fellow points out in his piece about this community, Joe Biden clearly wanted to get to know and be involved in the lives of black people. Absent of that was an analysis or a willingness to understand the impact of structural and systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
And systemic racism, perhaps, that he might end up contributing to?
Perhaps.
Maybe we can discuss that. So Joe Biden was the fifth youngest senator to serve. On his way to maybe be the oldest president to be elected. He prides himself on being able to work with Republicans like Mitch McConnell and Strom Thurmond. He's a man behind the...
good dude.
Yeah, good dude Strom Thurmond. It's weird when you talk about Strom. Like, it only makes sense if you say his full name.
Oh,
it
totally.
Only sounds normal. Like, if you're like, oh, Strom over there. No, Strom Thurmond over there.
And if either of those names do not feel comfortable coming out of a mouth. Like, awkward.
If I had never read any of his history and you just said the name Strom Thurmond, I would say, well, that's a man who supported segregation. like you just know it as soon as you hear the name.
Yeah, you feel it in your bones.
Yeah.
But Joe Biden is the man behind the 1994 crime bill. Pushed that quite a bit, which he remains proud of. Many point to this bill as contributing to mass incarceration. They're not wrong, though he and others have pointed out that the increase in incarceration actually began in the 70s, which also is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, is there like something that happened like right before the 70s that might have led people, like white people in power, to sort of push for mass incarceration of minorities?
Nothing's coming
like
to
right
mind.
Before, like right before the 70s, like a big, like a thing.
Like a
big,
movement?
Like a big movement.
Like
that.
A social
like
movement?
Like a movement for rights in the civil sector of society.
Like bring more people into society, but then like you want to get them out. You want to get them out now.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I...
Now, yeah, it's... Yeah, yeah.
I should have Googled 70s before rights people. So while the crime bill did contribute to it, it's not the only thing. So maybe Joe Biden's off the hook, but that also doesn't mean that Joe Biden wasn't involved with the other stuff. So early on in his career, Biden was like way into crime, not doing crime, but like the idea of crime and being like the tough on crime guy, solving the crime problem. He went to party leadership a lot, saying, quote, give me the crime issue and you'll never have trouble with it in an election. Working with his good friend Strom Thurmond on a crime bill, he told Strom, if you keep your right-wing guys from killing this bill, I'll keep the liberals off the bill. And if you and I stand fast and agree on what we can agree on and just hold firm, we can pass this thing.
Okay.
Another quote I actually quite like is, we have a military budget of $253 billion in 1983, which right off the bat, I think is a good way to start conversations about budget. Like for real, like if you're talking about like we don't have money, be like, well, the military has all this. But he followed it up with and yet in 1983 we only spend $3 billion a year to fight crime. And it continued with his bill with Strom Thurmond.
How much did we spend on schools, Joe?
Yep.
Interesting. I wonder if maybe basing school budget on the wealth of the community that the school's for is a bad idea.
Yeah.
It takes a special kind of mind to look at the budget and be like, we're shooting enough people overseas, but we're not shooting enough people here.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. We gotta even it out a little
bit. Well, it's not like putting more money into schools would also help with crime.
I wonder. Yeah. No, more education would not help.
It wouldn't help
society.
No. Also, less restrictions on the kind of substances people can imbibe. None of that would help the incarceration issue. No, Joe Biden's flawless on this one. I don't see what you're building to, Cody.
Oh well, in that case, let's take a quick break.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll build. We'll keep building to the actual point and what Biden actually did.
I can't wait to see this sandcastle.
Oh my gosh, I know.
I wish one of our sponsors was a mattress company because then we could have like segued from talking about Joe Biden being woke to being like, and if you want to be woke, you've got to sleep.
That is so good.
Some rest.
Come at us, mattress companies.
Come at us, mattress companies.
To get woke.
There's other candidates we could use that on if somebody wants to invest mattress money in us. Yeah, yeah.
But it's these ads instead.
Products!
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
We're back! My God, those were some powerfully erotic ads. Just, oh man.
Just so hot right now for ads.
Oh yeah, yeah. I am boiling under the collar. So let's cool off by talking about Joe Biden.
Let's jump back into that pool.
Yeah. I don't know. Joe's a hunky man. So I am not cool.
He was good looking as a younger man. I mean, yeah, objectively handsome when he was younger. Yeah.
Yeah. He needed more, I think it would have helped if, like, one of his eyes exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a little more character, you know? Like that handsome face, but then just, like...
Yeah, you don't want someone to be too handsome. Mm-hmm. Give me some blood drips.
Exactly. Gotta get those blood drips.
You know, I know you can say fairly that, like, that's just a thing that happens and it's not really a serious health problem, but also, I've given a number of speeches and I've seen a lot of people give speeches without their eyes exploding. It does worry me that happened to Joe.
It's just another piece of information to keep.
It's just something else.
Keep in mind. Mm-hmm. All right. Keep doing your thing.
Just, and the teeth thing. It's just that it's always when it's like a debate or like a big event. It's never like, he's doing like a thing in Iowa. It's like, no. On CNN.
Only when we really need you to keep it together. Yeah.
The election has just started, and he looks 30% more like the Crypt Keeper than he did when he left office.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, noted.
Oh, we have so many more months of this. But back to Joe and his buddy Strom, his concern with crime. So during this sort of period, late 70s, early 80s, like the Carter-Reagan sort of period, crime wasn't necessarily like a national issue at this time. They were more focused on the economy, things like that. So it wasn't like, you got to be tough on crime. That wasn't really a thing yet for these people. But the Biden-Thurmond dream team was working to on a bill basically to increase penalties for drugs, including expanding civil asset forfeiture, which, side note, civil asset forfeiture exists on the federal level largely because of Joe Biden specifically.
Cool.
And there's a strong argument to be made that rather than the actual focus on incarceration and stuff, the number one thing he attributed to like the growth of the carceral state in this country is that, because that's it. Many people will argue that is the number one driver of our prison population is the fact that we made it profitable to incarcerate people for police departments. And that's how they fund themselves now.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a terrible policy.
You can argue it's the worst thing he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not good. There's way more into the story of that, but just check out the Comprehensive Forfeiture Act introduced by Joe Biden in 1983. And that was part of this other bill, but he eventually got it done on his own. And so that was a big part of it. And they also worked together to create a sentencing commission and sort of eradicate parole at the federal level and to limit access to bail.
Cool.
Sort of all these things that make it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
He led the push for the Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1986, which lengthened sentences for a lot of offenses.
Uh-huh.
He was regularly very critical of George Bush for not being tough enough on crime. He's just like the tough crime guy. He would be heard to say phrases like, lock the SOBs up. You can see a lot of his speeches on the floor of Congress sort of talking in this way about crime and criminals in general. Although recently, he's been heard to say things like, too many people are incarcerated.
Okay.
And nobody should be in jail for a nonviolent crime.
Well, there we go.
Which, hard agree, Joe.
But no acknowledgement of the role he played to create the situation.
Exactly. There's no reflection on how we got here, or that like he's changing his mind even. Like, it's just like, no, I'm saying the thing that I'm saying the stuff that we all want me to say.
Right.
Right? When he hugely contributed to it.
Yeah.
Again, like the civil asset forfeiture thing is bonkers to me that it was him and no one's really brought that up to him or to his face in relation to all this stuff. And it just seems like a problem to have somebody who is so for these things when they've spent their entire career being against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me question what he actually believes or thinks or wants, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
Not a fan.
That's
all I'm saying.
Get it.
But no discussion of Joe Biden would be complete without discussing Anita Hill.
Yes, thank you.
A woman who contacted the FBI about alleged sexual harassment from Clarence Thomas.
Take that line one more time.
No discussion of Joe Biden would be complete without discussing Anita Hill, a woman who contacted the FBI about alleged sexual harassment from Clarence Thomas, who would eventually be put on the Supreme Court for life.
Bonkers.
Biden led the hearing regarding Hill's accusations. He's recently said, not only didn't I vote for Clarence Thomas, I believed her from the beginning. I was against Clarence Thomas. I did everything in my power to defeat Clarence Thomas, and he won by the smallest margin anyone ever won going on the Supreme Court. Many hold Biden partly responsible for this and for the terrible treatment Hill received. He allowed Republicans to attack her too harshly, sort of with free rein. He himself had a line of questioning that was very aggressive and accusatory, despite his claim that he believed her.
That he believed her?
Yeah. He's even said, if you go back and look at what I said and didn't say, I don't think I treated her badly. So, again, this sort of not being able to receive criticism.
Inability to see that.
Have any reflection on perhaps, even if you frame it like, well, it was a different time and I was doing this and this and this. He won't even go that far to say, I regret doing it. I wish I didn't. It was a different time. I'm sorry. Like, there's nothing there. It's just sort of denying that there was anything wrong with it.
Yeah, that's what I want in a president.
I love having our current president, but slightly more woke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a very clear truth of American history that nothing but good has ever come from presidents not being able to admit their mistakes.
Yes.
That's why we had the famously successful Vietnam War,
uh-huh.
Which led to a lot of good things.
Only good things for only good reasons.
Yeah. Well, the most important thing is just to keep barreling straight ahead without reflection.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you, because otherwise you look weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we need a strong
man.
Man, yes, thank you. A strong man.
You're welcome.
That's what America
desires. I feel like that's also
desires.
Only worked out well for human history. Yes. Is electing strong men to positions always works out well. They always do a good job, and there's never any negative. Yeah,
strong men to like authoritative positions with increasing amounts of power.
Yep.
I think we might be coming up with inventing live on this podcast a new political philosophy.
It seems good.
The strong man philosophy.
It seems good. Strongmanism.
That's got a real ring to it.
I would prefer though if the strong man represented like the minority opinion of the population.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
and in order to justify his power, we say that he spiritually embodies the essence of the people.
Thank you.
That seems like a really good idea.
He's speaking for everybody, despite not having the representation in the election.
This is really coalescing right now.
Mm-hmm. I think we're onto something.
Get this to Biden's people.
Yeah. I'm waiting for a politician that opposes Donald Trump to literally call him a fascist and explain why he is. Side note.
Get that?
Unrelated to what we were just talking about. No one said it yet.
We could probably get Beto to call him an asshole, but fascist is,
I wouldn't trust Beto to know or remember the actual definition of fascism.
No. But he definitely would swear about it.
Fucking fascist.
Our prideful little boy is not running for Senate.
I am excited for the rally Beto O'Rourke does wearing like a battle jacket at a skate park. Like, that's going to be a real fun day.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. So we got to go to that.
Yes, we do. And we will.
Back
to our buddy Joe and how he doesn't think he did anything wrong or treated her badly, despite other people saying that he has, even people in his own party and people that have watched the hearings. If you ask Anita Hill, she definitely thinks differently. It was apparently a running joke in her household for years and years and years that if her and her family was home, if nobody was expected, like if they didn't expect company, but the doorbell rang, somebody would say, "Is that Joe Biden coming to apologize?" Just a running joke in her household. But Joe did apologize, literally decades later. Mere weeks before announcing his third run for president. Interesting how that works out.
It is interesting.
Good timing there, Joe.
But it definitely seems sincere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he meant it.
Yeah.
Although he apparently didn't apologize for his behavior.
What did he apologize for?
He apologized for how she was treated.
Nope. Unacceptable. Not good enough. Sorry.
I hate the weasel words.
It's
like,
I'm sorry you were offended.
Apologize.
Or like it's,
just apologize.
I'm sorry if what I said was hurt you.
Look,
like,
I'm sorry you're upset. I am. That sucks.
Exactly.
You're upset. I don't like you being mad at me because I don't think I did anything wrong.
Yeah. You're
like,
not
we're
sorry.
At the point in our national discourse where a good apology actually means more than it should just because you never hear them. Like,
I
can actually almost forgive some really terrible things if it's actually a good apology,
yes.
as opposed to just like, well, I'm sorry you felt hurt. Like,
I'm like, good for you for growing and like seeing it. Yes,
literally
absolutely.
Acknowledging the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, she did not accept his apology.
Yeah, that is interesting.
As soon as the story came out, again, with very interesting timing that he had apologized to her, she came out and said, I don't accept his apology. What are you talking about?
Well, it sounds like she's being unreasonable.
It does sound like that.
Why can't she get on board the Biden train?
So many reasons.
Which is a decrepit Amtrak.
Just chugging along. Mm-hmm. It's just like parts of it exploding every once in a while. So she didn't accept his apology. So I think this actually sort of brings us to two different discussions. One is about Joe Biden's relationship with Republicans, and one is about his relationship with women. So first, the literal elephant in the room, his relationship with the Republicans. As fellow Democrat Howard Metzenbaum explained about the Anita hearing, quote, "Joe bent over too far backwards to accommodate the Republicans who were going to get Thomas on the court come hell or high water." And I think this is really representative of, again, sort of what we've been talking about, where he trusts Republicans and the Republican Party way too much.
Yeah.
Like, he's talked about how Donald Trump is an aberration, how he, like, he came out of nowhere. He's wholly separate from the Republican Party. And Biden's campaigned for Republicans. He's defended them. He claims that when Trump is gone, they'll all have an epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
In short, Biden doesn't get it at all. And he doesn't get what the Republican Party is. He doesn't get that Trump is the logical conclusion to that party. And the party has no interest in compromising or helping or bridging this divide that Biden keeps talking about. Yeah. They elected Donald Trump, who has a 90% approval rating among Republicans. He doesn't get it. And that's just not a way to, A, win support mm-hmm. from the opposition party or to get anything done. Because it's, again, that sort of we're going to compromise. We're going to stay the course. We're going to stay down the middle. And then the Republicans are like, well, fuck you. No, we're going to act the way that we act. And
cool.
It's cool. It's cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
It's cool.
Cool.
It's cool. So that's going to be not great. It's just another example of like, hey, you don't understand, and you're trying to get back to this era that doesn't
right.
exist.
It's not going to happen.
And it may have existed, but.
But it's we're so far past that. And
yeah. And when it existed, it was mostly just all of the white people left and right
yeah.
getting along and right. passing laws that fucked over people who are not
yes.
white.
Right. I mean, literally,
we didn't
like,
have that consideration.
This whole yeah. thing of like, oh, yeah, you worked with Strom Thurmond to yeah. get these laws passed that did exactly what you just said, Robert. And he talks about that in the way he eulogized Strom Thurmond's funeral and talked about how they work together, and he works together with Mitch McConnell and all these people that do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it's that time is over, Joe. And I'm sorry. It ain't happening.
I'm actually not sorry that time is over.
Fair.
Because
we're thrilled that time is over.
Yeah. Really bad? Yeah.
You know what? I agree. I take it back. It's very good that that era is over.
So now we're going to talk about women?
Now we're going to talk about women.
Here we go. His creepy little hands.
And like, I guess in a nutshell, fuck Joe. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what yeah. are you doing?
This is a podcast, so we can't show you the many times he's just like touched women in weird
Google,
ways.
No,
go on YouTube and you'll find a compilation yeah. of it, and it is truly striking. Just take a minute to go find
yeah.
that.
Like, the Republicans have made a big deal about it, but they're really not exaggerating it.
No.
Like, it's a
no.
real problem, and there's hundreds of examples of it.
Tons
like,
of examples. Super weird. There's no... That's the thing with a lot of the stuff that that are problems with Joe, where it's like, Republicans weaponize them,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the things are like, yeah, that's right. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And more so often you see these sort of things weaponized and blown out of proportion, but... It's not good. And he's, you know, kind of apologized
mm-hmm.
for it, but then he's joked about it after the fact.
Yeah. Right.
And then continued to do it.
Also kind of apologized.
Right. Like,
yeah.
And even then it's like talking about like a different time. It's like, well, it was never a good time.
That was
to,
never
like,
okay, Joe.
Sniff women's hair from behind.
Nope.
Or like touch like people that clearly don't want to be.
Well, also, you remember how they call the 70s the good old hair sniffing years.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
That's in the People's History
of
the United States,
right? I do remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stories also of just the, like, calling women sweetheart in that condescending yeah. way.
That's one of those things where, like, that's not okay, but, like, that I can chalk up to, like, okay, that was more common in a different time. The
yeah.
hair sniffing and grabbing was never normal.
Never normal.
Yeah.
Always uncomfortable, yeah. especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like just having that position of power too. Like it's not okay no matter what, but him being like,
yeah.
you're the vice president. You're going to sniff this woman's hair from behind. And like, it's too much.
Joe.
But like just a few days ago, there's a woman from the Sunshine Movement. Familiar mm-hmm. with that? She's asking him about his relationship with the fossil fuel industry. You know, taking money from executives, how his climate change advisor, Heather Zitchel, made like $1 million from fossil fuel money. And he kept denying that any of this is true. And he ended it with saying, again, quite condescendingly, like, thank you for admiring me so much. But during that conversation, as she's approaching him and talking to him, he grabs her hands.
No.
And puts her hands inside his hands, and he does not let them go the entire time.
Sounds like someone who doesn't learn his lessons.
Doesn't learn his lesson and like has these sort of like knee-jerk reactions of like, well, I'm being confronted. I need, and like, this is a woman, so I'm going to grab her hands and just deny it and then be like, thanks for the advice, sweetheart, and walk away.
It's that sneaky kind of chauvinism that's like, that's like, no, I'm a good guy.
Do you guys want to talk about the Kamala Harris debate thing where he grabbed her arm and said, take it easy on my kiddo?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a thing that he, even though he's apologizing for it, he still does it and he still doesn't get it. There's that moment in the debate where he and Kamala get on stage and he like grabs her arm and says, go easy on me, kid. A, kid.
Kid.
Come on, Joe.
Kiddo.
Kiddo.
B, like, kiddo. Outside of the sexism, like if it had been a man that he'd done that to, it still would have been an example of like, you fundamentally misunderstand politics.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that like ever. Like, you don't ask an opponent to go easy on you. You never do that.
You don't do it behind closed doors and you don't do it on stage when you're mic'd.
Yeah.
You just don't do it. It was like embarrassing in that way. And then also just like, God, why are you calling this woman kiddo and like grabbing her arm?
That would have
calling this black woman kiddo. Like, there's a bunch of problematic aspects.
There's so much surrounding most of the things.
There's
he does.
So many layers of why that's bad.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a theme for him too.
Yes.
Like, and I keep coming back to this. He's a weird mirror of Donald Trump in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
Like, because with Trump, you get a lot of this stuff, too, of like, he says a thing and you're like, well, that's wrong and bad for so many reasons. And with Joe, it's similar. And I'm not going to compare sniffing women's hair from behind, which is bad, to the things that Donald Trump has been accused of with women, which are horrendous.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in terms of this being the worst year ever, I can't imagine something worse for the country, for women, for vulnerable communities and minorities, for everyone, than two doddering old bags of bones who think they're the ones standing up to the bully, both often confused and having trouble using words in sentences, arguing with each other about who's more racist, who's more bad with women, and who has the hardest time using their brains.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the same guy arguing with himself.
It's painful to imagine.
It's so painful to imagine. I don't know what to do. Even the dog is upset about it.
Yeah. Dogs all over the country are upset about it.
Yeah, they're howling constantly.
I mean, should we say something about Joe Biden's, the fact that he grabbed that baby dick first?
Oh my God, that photo is so bad.
I didn't see that.
You gotta look up Joe Biden holding a baby. He holds, the man is a father, and he holds a baby like no one holds a baby. Nobody holds baby. I have no kids. For good reason, do not have kids. I know you don't hold a fucking baby that way.
You don't hold a baby like that. You don't hold your baby like that. You don't hold somebody else's baby like that. You don't
Very
hold somebody
weird.
Else's baby like that when there's a camera taking a picture of you holding that baby.
You don't
so
hold
weird.
Any living thing that way. You don't hold a dog or a cat that way. Nothing likes to be held dick first.
It's bizarre.
We're going to have to tweet this picture or something when this episode
like,
drops.
Seriously, like, Google Joe Biden holding a baby. It's the first
it
picture.
It's bananas.
It's bananas.
And autofills on Google.
Oh, no. Joe. Yeah.
Joe Biden holding
it's,
baby crotch.
It's so weird.
Oh, it's so weird. And, like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, it's bad, and we all know it's bad. And then you imagine an election where he's against Donald Trump, and, like, that machine weaponizing this kind of stuff, it's going to be miserable. Mm-mm. And like probably effective.
Yeah.
And nobody, we don't want it.
We don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want it.
We don't want it.
Can I tell my one Joe Biden story?
Absolutely.
So back in 2016, when I was doing the convention circuit and working the election, one of the journalists I worked alongside was like a longtime DC bureau reporter, like 20 years or something. He'd been reporting on politics in DC, and so he'd like met Joe Biden a bunch of times, been at a bunch of events where the vice president had spoken and where he'd spoken even before he was VP. And he told me about one where Joe Biden went and like gave the speech and then afterwards just started like hanging out with the press corps and like drinking and to the point where like they were up until like 2 a.m. And he says, like, I noticed like one of his Secret Service agents just looking absolutely exhausted. And I like looked over to him and I asked, does he do this a lot? And the Secret Service agent looked back at him and said, all the time, in this voice that was just like bone weary. Like, this guy doesn't know when he's going to get to sleep because Joe Biden just can't stop himself from hanging out with people.
That's fun. Is that drive that need to be desired and liked and loved? And like, I'm the guy. I'm here until you all fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or like my eye explodes and Joe Biden. Take a nap.
I gotta go drain it.
I mean,
I gotta go drain my eyeball. Like, oh God.
Yeah, there are some good things that I think about him that like are unique to him as a candidate, and it's not a lot to talk about, but like I do think they're positives. He took public transit, the Amtrak, for like 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have somebody in the executive branch who like understands how a huge chunk of this country gets around.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a working class
like, long-term experience.
Sort of,
yeah.
Public transit.
That's positive.
That's the positive we have for him.
He likes trains.
No, there's one I other know. That's pretty significant to me, which is that he's the only member of the executive branch we've had in recent memory who had a child fight in one of our wars. And that's not insignificant to me. That's a positive as well. So like,
that's
I'll give him those things. Those are both significant things. It doesn't overwhelm all of
it
the things.
It doesn't. It's not enough for me to vote for him. But.
Yeah.
But it's nice. I appreciate that you brought these two very small, positives up. Yeah.
Because we're fair and balanced. And
yeah,
stuff.
We are fair and balanced and stuff, and other stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that his...
Considering all things.
Yeah, his love, where we are the considerers.
All things considered.
Considerers of all things, all of it. Do you think that his love and appreciation for trains will lead him to do anything about that?
No.
Like, because, you know, much more public transportation, maybe even free public transportation, would benefit so many people and improve so many people's lives. But will he do anything about that?
That's a great question, and the answer is it depends on whether or not his eyeballs explode, rendering him unable to do his job as president.
So about 70-30 chance?
70-30,
So it's possible.
Right. Or maybe maybe he's on his way to sign the bill increasing public transit funding, and he seeds a baby with an ungrabbed crotch, and he's just got to get in there, you know?
And then his eyeball pops out.
His eyeball pops out, his teeth fall out, and then he's like, and then his fine. Teeth. Don't worry, everything's fine.
He goes to pick it up, but his teeth accidentally eat the eyeball. You know.
Joe Biden over the last year is like a very slow motion play of that scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Just going to slowly melt for the next 15 months.
Yeah, we're just watching that.
I mean, and that would be fun, but it's not what I want from a president.
Not what you want,
it's not
from,
what I
a
want from a president. From a vice president, sure.
Yeah, you can get away with that as VP. I don't actually care
all that much. Yeah,
I swear to God, if Joe like gets on the ticket as like the running mate of somebody, no one will do that. No one would do that.
No, I am excited for Beto Biden, the double B's.
Oh God.
Oh, God. Of all the people to pick Biden, it'd be Beto. Oh, no.
No, that won't happen. Joe is... Yeah, no. Nobody likes him on that stage.
No, they don't. They don't.
He doesn't like being on that stage.
Thanks for doing all that research for us, Cody. That was interesting.
Oh, no problem. He's my favorite person. I love him.
That was so sincere, and I completely, I
very sincere.
You.
Yeah,
I
said it because I meant
love
it.
In your heart.
Yeah, you get it. That's my sincerity for the day. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. This was really fun. You can check us out on the internet at Worst Year Pod. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And we do not have a website just yet, coming soon. But what we do definitely have coming soon is a TeePublic store with merchandise and stuff that you should buy.
Now, we should state right now, the only shirt that we will ever sell is a high resolution picture of Joe Biden grabbing that baby's groin.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, can we sell that?
That's,
yeah.
Oh, yep. Yeah. That's going to lead us through to November.
Yeah, with that that Daria teacher's eye popping out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're already well acquainted with the dirtbag left via podcasts like Chapo. We're the baby's crotch grabbing. Shouldn't.
Nobody agreed to that.
We just need to workshop that. We need to workshop that and circle back around.
I mean, it's too bad we're branded already, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a real shame. We're all really upset that we can't brand ourselves as the baby crotch grabbing podcast.
And what can listeners expect next week?
Next week, we're going to be talking about Andrew Yang. So, you know you want to tune in for that, guys.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, come back.
Join the Yang Gang.
If you haven't subscribed, subscribe.
Yeah.
Yeah, join our Yang Gang. It's not going to be as interesting as the Corn Pop Gang, but it'll be different kind of gang.
We're no Romans hanging out at the pool causing trouble.
There will be a bike chain, but that's all I'll spoil ahead of time.
Yeah. But it's like a bike chain that's falling off of a bike and like someone fell over and skinned their knee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So different kind of violent.
Spoiler alert. Yes.
Yeah, come back for that. But this was fun.
You know what?
What?
Bye.
Everything's so dumb and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.